B-Pod Studios.
The Felger and Mass podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Are you ready for this? It's Felger and Mass.
Oh, stupid, my God.
Oh. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Butler with eight to shoot. Butler outside Martin. Back up top, Butler. Butler, a three-pointer. Off the side of the rim, Brown the rebound. Could the Heat foul here?
I'm taking a foul. I'm not allowing them to get off a three.
Denver does have a timeout, but they're not using it. 4 seconds. Murray, step back. Three-pointer. Won't go. Fight for the rebound. Martin. And it's over. The Miami Heat have tied the NBA Finals. What a comeback here on the road for the Heat. And it's one apiece. Once again, the grit of the Miami Heat, relentless and resilient. A three-point victory, despite a 41-point outing from Nikola Jokic.
All right, hi everybody, welcome into the program. That was the ABC call last night of Miami Heat's Game 2 win over the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. It'll just be a kickoff topic for us here on what's a re-entry Monday. Maz and Murray alongside of Felger here in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Waltham. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Good, you.
How are you?
Peachy, thank you so much. We're brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast that beams across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Re-entry Mondays are brought to you by Blue Bear Services. The weather is heating up, and Blue Bear Services wants to make sure your AC is ready to go. Visit BlueBearPlumbing.com to book your $127 AC tune-up today. That's BlueBearPlumbing.com. We have a lot to get to. We want to get to the Red Sox today. We want to get to some coaching news on the Celtics with Sam Cassell joining the staff, among other Celtics developments. That's on the table. Dribs and drabs that have popped up on the Patriots football. We'll get to that, I believe, today. But let's start with some NBA Finals and some takeaways, just general or as they relate to the Celtics here. And we can start with last night or whatever you want. So your number, by the way, is 617-779-0985. Give us a call. Maz, you have some thoughts. What are your jumping off points from last night?
Well, I'll just say quickly, with regard to the Nuggets and the Heat, I was more surprised by game one than I was by game two. Because I don't think these teams are that far apart, given the way Miami's playing. Denver's more talented, but Miami's finding a way to hang in with everybody. So I don't expect this series to be a blowout. I picked Miami going in, and I was surprised that they kind of took the beating that they did in game one. Now, that said, I think they still think the Celtics, if they played their best, would beat both of these teams. That's the frustrating part. When you lost to Miami, you gave away a championship. That's what you did. You would have had a home court on top of it. Not that it would have mattered with the way you were playing at home, but you get the idea. I think they're better than both of these teams. So now there are individual players that, the more you watch Jokic, he's amazing.
He's a menace.
He's amazing. And he's not athletic. He's not super athletic. He's just, he's like a basketball genius or something. So and there are guys to like in the series and all of that. But if you're a Celtics fan and you've been watching this, I don't know how you're not frustrated.
I mean, my main takeaway, at least from last night's game, is at least it might make you feel a little bit better as a Celtics fan to know that poor coaching isn't just a problem here. To Mike Malone, right? Michael Malone, that's the head coach of the Nuggets. Dude, like, you can't take the timeouts home with you. You can't take them home and then raise them as children. I don't get it. Take the timeout. Set up a play. What are you doing there at the end of that game? That blew my mind.
So is that one of your takeaways too, Maz, that coaching actually might matter in the NBA?
Oh, so I have come to the conclusion that I overstated the insignificance of coaching, or have overstated, with regard to the NBA as it is now. So my assessments of coaching in the NBA were formed over years and years and years of great teams. One great team or two great teams in the league who have obviously better talent than everybody else, and it comes down to them, and then the players decided on the floor. And by the way, I still generally believe that, but now in a league like this where there is no clearly dominant team, the Celtics might be the best team, but they're not a dominant team. They're not a 65-win team. They're not that kind of team. I think now on the margins, there is an element to it that affects these games. Yes. And so you got to factor it in. Now, should it have been an issue against Miami? No, because I think they're better than Miami. But it was. because Joe Mazzulla is not ready for prime time. And Spoelstra is. Spoelstra knows how to get open shots for his players. He does.
So I have several takeaways. One is just how good it is for the league. The Miami Heat is good for the league. They are. It's great that a team that is just, well-coached, that is disciplined, that's tough, that's clutch, can beat teams that are better than them, that are more talented than them. That's great. That, to me, is what makes sports great. You know what's boring? The best team winning or the MVP winning? Yeah, the Nuggets have the MVP, so they win. Well, that's kind of boring. Well, why even watch? Don't you want to see? I mean, that's why I watch team sports. You know, who puts it together the best? Who's the smartest, the toughest, the most clutch?
That's why those few years with Durant and Golden State were the absolute worst.
Boring. Boring. I barely paid attention. And I'll tell you the same thing. I felt the same way about the Jordan years. Boring. And as brilliant as he was as an individual player and taking nothing away from him, he's the greatest player of my lifetime, probably in the history of the sport. But it's just, I always say this, if it just comes down to pure talent, I'll watch track and field or the shot. Like it's just the, if it's just the guy that can run the fastest or jump the highest or is the strongest, then I'll watch weightlifting or track and field or something like that. Okay, team sports should be more than that. So this is just, it's kind of a diatribe. It's a longstanding thing of mine. But it to me, it's always been the weakness of the NBA, which is like, it's predictable. The best team wins. The home team wins. Who's got the MVP? They're the favorite. Like, okay, do I even really need to watch this? And I feel like in the last couple of years, Maz, the NBA sort of flattened out in a good way. And I think it's great. There is no dominant team, as you just said. But especially the Heat. Like, the Heat is refreshing in that regard. They win just purely on just sort of mental toughness and clutchness. They're clutch.
They are. They're really clutch.
11 of 16 from the floor in the fourth quarter. They got to the fourth quarter. They got to winning time last night and didn't miss. And that's just that, you know.
And it was Duncan Robinson basically taking over too.
If it wasn't the Heat, you'd like it too out there. But I think there's just a diaper baby thing with Celtics fans and the Heat and whatever. That's your problem, not mine. If they were your team, you'd love them and you should love them. And so I think the Heat is great for basketball. You don't know who's going to win and you haven't known who was going to win the entire time, this entire playoffs. You didn't know who was going to win. Isn't that great? Isn't that different?
Unusual in that league.
Isn't that unusual for the NBA? You didn't know who was going to win. You didn't know who was going to win previously. You don't know who's going to win now. I think it's the Heat. I think the Heat punctured Denver and sort of popped the balloon, their first loss at home. And I think I am still a big believer in sort of seasoning and having been there before in the NBA. And, you know, so Denver is probably not, my guess is mental toughness wise, emotionally not ready to, you know, dig deep and do what it takes to take it from the Heat. And so,
and just quickly, Spoelstra and the Heat might have figured out the formula too. Like, you can let Jokic go off for 40, 45, whatever, as long as he can't facilitate and let other guys score, they're really limited.
So,
like,
I don't think
a good plan.
I don't think they're that limited. I mean, what's his face there?
Murray.
Murray's a great player.
He could shoot. Yeah. And he's a better passer than I give him credit for. Like, I didn't realize Murray could pass like he does. Yeah, Murray's good. I mean, he's a good player. I got nothing against Murray, but I think Jim Murray is on to something, though.
I don't. The Denver supporting cast is still way better than Miami.
No, I'm not knocking the cast. I'm just, go ahead, Maz.
No, if you let Jokic score, if you focus on the scoring more than the passing, they're less dangerous.
Because he just scores twos?
Correct.
That sort of thing?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of it. When a guy like him started, and I felt the same about Jimmy Butler in the Miami series. When you have a guy like that who can start getting everybody involved, now you've got five guys you got to defend.
Well, what I find dangerous about Denver is just when they get running. When they get running and they shoot quick on the shot clock and it's, you know, they just run and gun, I feel like you can't stop them. If Jokic is killing you, that's typically not him on the break.
Half court game.
It's half court. So it's half court, it's slow down, and if you give it up to Jokic, it's just a two, and that keeps it close anyway. So I hear you on that. But I still think Denver's supporting cast is better than Miami's. Miami's supporting cast is playing great. There's just a great buy-in with that team. They just believe, they buy in. Whatever they got going there, and it's the culture, sorry. that, you know, gives them this belief and this buy-in. That a lot of guys are playing over their heads. Jimmy Butler's not one of them. You know, you watch him, half the time it's like the dude doesn't even shoot that well. He misses a lot of shots. He misses a lot of shots down low. It's all just sort of toughness and guile, and it's so rare in that league. God, it's great. Like, it's so refreshing, and I'm pulling for them. You know, for that reason, and there's some trolling there that I get to hold over Celtics fans, which is there's some value there. But it's really just the style of play and how different it is in the league. It's I hope it's a trend, Maz. I hope it's something that is a sign of things to come. That's not just the best player. It's not just pure talent. That the league has, the parity has taken over, and now it's going to be the intangibles are sort of on the margins, which would be great. I don't know about that. I mean, there's no other team like this Heat team. The closest is that 04 Pistons team. What was the year that they won?
Yeah, you got it right.
With Rasheed Wallace and that group.
Yep.
I mean, this is as close as it gets, but that team had more talent than this one.
Oh, definitely. They had good talent on that Pistons team.
It was just sort of, it wasn't the elite of the elite, but whatever. Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton and Rasheed Wallace, and that's better than this group. This would be almost unprecedented in my lifetime if they actually won this thing.
Agreed.
And I think it's great for the league. One specific takeaway, I'm with Murray. I'm getting about done with these coaches just letting these guys play it out in the last 10 seconds. You know, do your job. Do your job. It's your job to draw up a play. And the Murray shot was a good shot. It wasn't horrible. You know, step back from 26 feet or whatever. But it's like, no. Hey, how much do you make a year, Mike Malone? $5 million a year? Bang the timeout. Get the ball at midcourt. Draw something up. That's your job. I think it's kind of a cop-out to say, I'm just going to let the players decide. And do you really think Miami's not going to be set up? You're somehow going to catch Miami unaware.
Yeah, right.
That team among any of them. You know what I mean? Like, Miami's going to get back. Miami's going to be set. Miami's not going to be scrambling around. That's the Heat. That's the best coach team in the league. And they know the stakes. You're not going to catch them napping by running the ball down the floor. Call the timeout. Do your job. That's what I'm sort of arriving at. I don't know if you've changed your mind on that.
I
it when teams play it out.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all. And I'll tell you why. Because, again, this is part of the reason I say that I think it, when the talent is relatively even in the NBA now, the coaching does matter. I'm not going to give Spoelstra a timeout to be able to set everything up the way he wants it. I'm not going to do it. And so now, again, it's different when you have Michael Jordan. You can do whatever the hell you want. Just get the ball in Jordan's hands, and he finds him a way to win the game. I don't know that once LeBron is gone, and let's face it, the LeBron of old is gone already. He's not the same guy he used to be. There isn't that singularly dominant guy in the league anymore. Not really. And so you know what? There is parity in the league. I agree with all of that part of it. So I'll take whatever chance I can get, and I'll hope the defense, someone screws up an assignment, and then here we go. So I don't have a problem with that part of it per se. But again, I don't, you know, I'm not so adamant about not calling. I think that one can go either way.
But wrong team, to Mike's point, to think that they're going to be screwed up or rattled. It's the Heat. They're there for a reason. It's because of reasons like this. They're prepared. They're ready.
Okay, but are they going to be any more rattled coming out of the timeout?
No, but do you believe in your talent and your schematics, too, to, like, draw up a play?
I don't know. Do your job. Right, like, what's the coach there for? I mean, it feels like it's too much. It feels like every team does it now. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's the consensus way to handle that situation is you let it play out. It's like if I'm an owner, it's like, well what am I paying you for? So I don't know. It's just I don't feel it ever works either. Maybe that's it too.
Like, well, so look, I'm not telling you it works or it doesn't. I'm just telling you at least they got the ball in the hands of their best shooter and he actually got a half-decent look. The Celtics, when they do it, dribble off their knee or someone throws it into another guy's hands and that's that. So, like, that one is, you know, I'm not saying it's totally apples to apples, but the practice of it against a team like Miami, I mean, I'm not telling you you're wrong, but I could go either way on that one.
Okay, so we'll start with some of us. Whatever. It's a reentry Monday. Your thoughts on whatever you got. We started with the NBA Finals. And, it's nothing to worry about, Celtics fans. You have a new assistant coach. That's gonna make the difference now. An assistant coach. We can debate whether the head coach even has any use in this league, but no, now it's the fact that you have an assistant coach is going to make the difference. Got it. Understood. Here's a quick word from our sponsors, and we're back with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Every day they work their hardest to give you the best show they can.
I think that's rare.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Your thoughts on how the last possession went down?
I get it. I get both schools of thought. For me, down three in that situation is different than being down two. Down two, there's a lot of options at your disposal offensively. And sometimes coaches just want to play. Because you might have a team defend it well initially, and you can still get a reversal and a dribble drive at the rim. When you know you have to hunt a three-point shot coming up the floor, there's just no way Miami is going to blow that switch and give Jamal Murray a clean look. Now, look, he got off a decent shot,
yeah,
and that's a makeable shot, particularly for him. And he had already made a couple of threes in the last couple of minutes of the game. So I'm sure they're going to say, hey, we got a clean look on that play. We're going to live with it. We're not going to lose any sleep over that. I just don't know why you don't decide as a head coach in that situation to dictate what you want the action to look like coming out of bounds, to give yourself a better chance to set up what you want, to potentially force Miami to make a mistake on some sort of a back screen or some sort of a switch on a flare screen. It gives them a greater chance to make a mistake when you dictate who is where on the floor at the start. But again, he got a clean look.
Yeah.
They're going to say that they're going to live with that. I think down three, you take advantage of that, having that timeout. That's the whole reason they've got that rule. Advance it. Be about 10 seconds on the clock, probably. Take it in, yeah, inside, out of bounds. And I think you've got more options at your disposal to get what you want.
It's Tim Legler, ESPN. I'm with him. Enough. I've seen enough of these coaches let the players play it out, and they never score. I don't know if I saw more success with it. I mean, We were told this before. I haven't seen the supporting data, but I thought we got an email once, Mass, that said, you know, they've run the analytics on it and that they find that there's more buckets made without the timeout versus the timeout. They just, you know, of course, as with everything now, they just took all the data, threw it into a computer, and it spat out that you score more without calling the timeout and letting the defense set. All right, I get it. It's been a while since I've seen it work. That's all. Not just the Celtics, but everybody, and that happened again last night. All right, to your calls. Let's go to Anthony and Natick. Lead us off, Anthony.
Hey, Felger, I agree, man. The Heat's a refreshing story. I'm pulling for him 100%. And after I get my take, I got a quick question. But anyways, I hope the Celtics can do something in between. They definitely got to do something. I mean, there's something wrong with that team. I mean, they're soft, and Sam Cassell thing's not enough. But I'll tell you this. I'm not in favor of splitting up Brown and Tatum. I'll tell you why. My fanship started at the end of the Larry Bird era, and I've watched enough bad teams without talent. I would rather watch this group of soft individuals hopefully try to figure it out rather than go back to my years of Jay Crowder and stuff. But my question that I had is, do they have to pay Jay? If they wanted to get Brown the Supermax, could they give it to him after his final year, or do they have to give it to him this year? Because if they didn't, then I don't know what the rush is in order to give it to him right now.
It's a good question. This actually occurred to me. I think Anthony Davis is in the same spot with the Lakers. They're considering really giving, is he worth the Supermax or not? And it's like, well, he's got another year to go. So, Jimmy, can't you just give him the Supermax after next year?
You can, but Jaylen Brown might feel insulted by them not giving it to him the moment he's available to get it. So he might leave as a free agent and then you get nothing.
Okay, but aren't the same dynamics in play the next year, meaning you can give him 290 and no one else can give him more than 210?
That's correct.
So as insulted as he is, or would be, something tells me the $80 million difference would sort of smooth that over, or at least, you know, he's not going to leave $80 million on the table just because you made him wait a year. I don't know. What do you think, Maz?
I think the longer you wait, the more likely he's gone.
Over $80 million?
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say he would definitely leave. I said the longer you wait, the more likely that he walks.
Isn't that crazy? Maybe someone can give us a hard answer on that.
12:01 a.m. is when they need to offer him the Supermax to make sure that the Celtics have done their part to let the player know that they want him here.
12:01, what's the date?
July 1st, I think.
This offseason? So
I think so.
On the league year, whenever free agency
starts?
July
1st, July 7th. It's somewhere in July. We'll all be on vacation at the time, so we'll worry about it then.
I'll be sure to zoom in from somewhere.
So you're saying they should play chicken with him? I mean, they could.
Well, it's not chicken. It's we're not sure. We don't know, Jalen. You're on the, you know, just because you are eligible for the Supermax doesn't mean you're a Supermax player.
Right.
And the way you played down the stretch last year, we just want to give it one more year to decide. That's a good question. I've had it too, and I've meant to ask it. So let's try and get that answer. I trust Jimmy's knowledge of it, but it's so effing complicated that maybe we just, you know, don't know. So let's endeavor. Here's Mike on the Cape. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey guys. So my big thing here is I think Jaylen Brown kind of just showed us what he's all about this game seven here. In all honesty, all season long, I felt like Tatum and Brown have still been fighting for that top spot, and Tatum should be the guy. He's getting paid, but Brown's been right there with him all along. And quite frankly, the way he went down in games, well, the way Tatum went down in game seven and the way Brown didn't step up, not only did Brown show his true colors, in my opinion, but on the same page, I think he really sold himself short when it comes to free agency. You know, I absolutely love Brown and think that Brown is a fantastic player, but the problem between Brown and Tatum is nobody wants to take the lead.
Okay, you gave me a lot there. Did Jaylen Brown cost himself money with how that ended?
He might have. Yeah, he might have. Again, we now have doubt as to whether or not he's a Supermax player. Again, had it gone the other way. Let's say he had played game seven, played great, and they won. We'd be looking at it like, hey, lock him up and think about moving Tatum. Or some people would. So, like, he cost himself some dough. Absolutely. No question about it.
Brian in the car on last night's game. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, last night's game, I mean, if you look at the Nuggets, I'm fine with not going for that timeout there, but the backup people, other than Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, have been a shell of themselves. I mean, Caldwell Pope was a great three-point shooter in the first and during the season. Michael Porter Jr. chucks up random threes, just like someone locally to Boston, Marcus Smart. And Aaron Gordon had a great game one, but then was kind of a no-show in game two. So I think the Heat obviously are playing out of their minds. But I still give the Nuggets the edge a little bit. But you are right, Felger, that the Nuggets, their bubble could have popped right after last night. They just couldn't put the Heat away.
It's the first time they've been punched in the mouth. I think they've led every series they've been in. They've never lost at home.
It was their first home loss since March or something.
So it's like, you know, they just have this invincibility that now they just got hit in the schnoz. And they haven't been hit in the schnoz for months.
Mm-hmm.
All Miami does is get hit in the schnoz and come back and come back and come back and come back. And so you can't put them down or put them away. You can beat them because they're still not that good. But it is impressive to watch them that when they get down, when Denver went on that run in the second quarter last night, I mean, they got like 15 points and the building's off the chain and they're just running and gunning and running in threes. And it's like, Miami still comes back down, gets a little two-pointer from Adebayo in the lane or something, and just sort of stops it, and then it goes to 13, and like they're still hanging around at 11, and then it's like 9. All of a sudden, it's like you haven't put them away.
And at the half, it's 6.
And it's a half at 6. And it's like, boy, they were just about to get run out of the gym, and they always get that one basket to keep it somewhat respectable. Now, they've had a couple of bad losses. The whatever that was to the Celtics, game four, game five, got away from them. Maybe both of those games. There was one game against the Bucks that got away from them. But for the most part, it's like, and I think a couple of those were scheduled losses. I think Miami came up here and sort of gave you that one.
Yeah, game five, they checked out.
Who did they hold out of? They held Vincent out of the lineup when he could have played. Butler didn't play the fourth quarter. Like, so Miami will give you one now, and they just load management will give you one, even the playoffs. But in a game they want, they don't stop.
They keep coming. They're relentless.
And it's not like this a million miles an hour relentlessness. It's just this slow, methodical, we are going to keep playing. So you have to keep playing.
So you mean
and if you stop, we are ultimately going to catch you. Sorry.
No. So you mean when they get down 15 in the second quarter, they don't pull their shorts down and just shoot a three out of their ass?
No.
They don't do it that way?
Nope. They run a little two-man action for Adebayo in the lane, and he hits a shot.
And they get an easy bucket and slow the game down.
And then they go back down and play some defense, and they just grind it out possession to possession.
No, I like the idea better of just pulling your shorts down and shooting a three out of your ass like it's coming out of a cannon.
It's wonderful to watch. It really is. And so Denver's better. Denver's going to have portions and segments of the games where you're going to look at it and go, this isn't even how do you even do this? And Miami's going to keep coming. And so I know Miami's not going to go away. I don't know about Denver. I don't know. I don't know if they've been in this spot for a while. And you don't know until you get there. Here's more reaction to the finals and these two teams and how it relates to the Celtics coming up right after Big Jim Murray's.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass continues on the Sports Hub.
Man, the Denver Nuggets, they got to realize this ain't a regular season game. There was at least five or six occasions where they doubled and left guys wide freaking open. And you know it sooner or later the Heat were going to start making shots. The attention to detail. Michael Malone talked about it, but they didn't listen. To me, they came out flat. Uh-huh. They were playing this game like a regular season game. And even when they kept it going, the Heat had got their confidence. Gabe Vincent was terrific. Bam did well. Duncan Roberts was great. And then Jimmy finished them off. But you have to respect. I thought they played this game like a regular season game tonight. It was crazy how flat they came out. And to me, they were making just too many mental errors. But, like, from a player standpoint, you had to say yourself, the Miami Heat, they who they are. They're going to come out. And to get off to that sloppy of a start, it was weird for me. I was like, come on, man, you guys are trying to win a championship. And to come out flat, and I was in shock. And like I say, Strus got them started. It was a really great team ever by the Heat, but the Nuggets deserve some, like, yo, man, y'all do it. We're trying to win a championship.
Sparkly last night on NBA TV. He and Shaquille O'Neal do the NBA Network stuff. So said the same thing about the Boston Celtics. So is this more about the Heat, Maz? Is it starting to become more about the Heat? Or do you look at the Celtics and the Nuggets both and say, do you guys get it?
B.
Me too.
B, because again, I when you listen to Barkley there, you know, you find yourself saying, well, they won game one. It looked relatively easy in the process, and they came out in game two and thought they had it in the bag, which is exactly the crap the Celtics pull. You know, they play a good game or they win a game easily, and all of a sudden they think they got it in their hip pocket, and then they lose to Atlanta because they put, you know, they think all of a sudden the championship's going to fall in their lap. Miami shows up every night. Now, to your point, when they're up 3-1, they might give one away, okay? But they'll open up a gap, and they pick their spot. Like, with them, you almost feel it's all very deliberate. Like, there's this approach of, with these other teams, you feel like it's a letdown. And I think Miami just knows when to stay focused.
Does anybody else, or are they special in that regard?
I think they're special in that regard. I don't remember seeing anything like this in that league.
I mean, in other words, it's, so they did this to the Bucks. You say, well, where are the Bucks? They didn't show up. And they do it to the Celtics. They say, where are the Celtics? Do they get it? They're just losers, soft. They don't show up. Then they do it to the Nuggets. They say, wow, do they get it? They're playing for the championship. How come they don't show up? It's like, well, maybe there's a commonality there. I will say this about the Bucks. The Bucks just lost on stupidity and lost late in games. I never looked at them in that series and said, maybe game one, they weren't ready for Miami. Other than that, they were ready for them. They just couldn't execute down the finish like Miami could. The Celtics and that Nuggets game last night, you did sort of look at the Celtics and Nuggets and go, Do you guys understand you have to take this from the Heat?
Right. Do you want to play or not?
Yeah. Like, do you understand what's at stake? That wasn't quite that way with Milwaukee. It was more execution. But either way, it's like at some point it adds up and you have to say, well, maybe the Heat have something that we just can't quantify.
So maybe it's a combination of those two things. The fact that they show up and they execute down the stretch. Like, you know, Milwaukee couldn't do both. The Celtics certainly couldn't do either, if you ask me. And I don't know, maybe this Denver team can't do either. We'll see.
Miami's worth rooting for. I know it's hard for you to do it, but they are. It restores my faith in the league and the sport. And if Denver earns it now, especially now, I'll give them credit, and it would have been even more interesting. But there's just something about they have the MVP, so they win the title. Oh. And I know Jokic didn't win it this year, but you know what I mean.
No, you see, like, they get the best player. Of course they won.
Giannis is the best player. They win.
Yeah.
Jokic is the best player. He wins. It's like, okay, well, why am I even bother watching these 2 months then? Best player wins every time? It's like, it's a little more interesting when you win different ways, as far as I'm concerned. And every now, you know, or not every now and then, if the best player wants to win as part of a mixture of teams that break through, fine. You know, I don't need it to be the eighth seed every year. But I think the NBA desperately needs an eight seed to win or something, you know, just to restore our faith in that it's just not the best player or the home team that wins every time.
Hey, if this is where the league is going, especially now with the new CBA where it's going to be harder to stack teams and all that, that's a good thing.
Agreed.
It brings more elements into the game. I said to you at the beginning, I'm starting to think that the coaching actually is mattering in this league now. I never believed that before.
More reaction. ESPN, they're the ABC postgame. Wilbon, Derek Rose, go ahead.
I'm going to attribute as much of it, if not more, to the personality of the Miami Heat that it has to come out of them to play like this. They went from up 11 to down 15. And at that point, when you're already down 1-0 and you're on the road at altitude, you could cave. I don't mean quit. I mean cave. They didn't. That's when they talk about, and this is the old Pat Riley and then Eric Spoelstra formula, playing with force. This is what they're talking about. The intensity, the energy that you keep bringing it when you're down 15 and you chip away at that and you get it to whatever it was, 6, I think, at halftime. And then you start the fourth quarter that way again for the second time. That, to me, the personality of the Miami Heat shown through tonight. Yes, they have to shoot the ball, but they have to play with that kind of personality, and it seems to just fit everything they do.
I'm going to piggyback on what Wilbon said, because Stephen A. made all of the valid basketball points. Eric Spoelstra, in adjustments, okay, you put Kevin Love into the lineup. You find ways to go zone when you need to. You allow Nikola Jokic. What was our question? Do you want him to eat or serve? Well, he had 4 assists and 5 turnovers. But he did get his 41 points. When you go zone, you take Jamal Murray out of the pick and roll action. Also, playing with the force you just talked about eliminated Michael Porter Jr. It just totally eliminated him from the game. And also, changing the start lineup eliminated Aaron Gordon from getting off to the kind of start he had in the previous game.
So, I don't know how much to give Spoelstra, as Jalen Rose did there. So, they put Kevin Love in the starting lineup? I mean, it worked. I mean, but that's why they won? Because, you know, as they both just pointed out, the Heat went up 11, then went down 15. So at that point, what is Kevin Love, you know, that little adjustment there to start the game ran its course and flipped on its ear. They went to zone. Like, how much am I going to give Eric Spoelstra? He keeps using that zone and, like, okay. Decided to let Jokic cook instead of serve.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good adjustment. You know, they're well coached, but how much is it? I think it's, to when I talk about Miami, to me it's much more about their resilience and their mindset and their buy-in, which Spoelstra is a part of. They all obviously believe in the coaching and the schemes and all of that, but it's deeper than that. It's the buy-in and belief and all that thing that I think runs through that building, and it's from Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler, and that's what I think that is.
Well, that's the top of the list. I'm just telling you, I don't think the other thing is a zero, because there are a lot of coaches that can't even do the most basic crap, which, like, the putting the ball in Jokic's hands and letting him score, it's a small thing. I mean, it's not, if I can think of it, they can, but it's the way to beat them.
But they definitely did it. You see the possessions that Cody Zeller's on him? It's a freaking joke. When Jokic has Cody Zeller on him, it's like dead meat. Jokic just goes right to the cup and scores easily every time.
And so, you know what? At the end of the day, not only that, but the other guys are just watching. They're standing around watching. So now Jokic is going to get his 41, but the other guys aren't going to be as effective, and now there's fewer people to defend. It's an elementary thing. I don't think when you're in this level, the playoffs, I don't think one guy beats you. So if you can take the others out, go get 50 if you want. You'll lose.
More reaction and your thoughts coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Exactly what was it you heard?
It's Belger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High left side is Jimmy Butler. 10 on the shot clock. He goes to the right hand, guarded by Jokic. Crossover, head fake. Gets it to Vincent. Back over to Butler. Got to shoot it. Step back three. Missed it. Rebound down to Bruce Brown. They're not going to call a timeout. Denver needs a three-pointer to tie the thing up. 7 seconds left to go for Jamal Murray. Murray has the bottom part of the midcourt circle. Step back three. Missed it short, and there's the horn. Denver loses game two of the NBA Finals tonight to the Miami Heat, 111-108.
Yeah, I think it's dependent upon the situation, you know, and their half-court defense was giving us a lot of trouble in that fourth quarter. You know, and you take a timeout, you let them get set, you let them review whatever play they think that we're going to run, and there's a great chance that we don't get a quality shot like Jamal got, which was online, and from my perspective, looked like it had a great chance of going in, and we've seen Jamal make shots like that before. So some nights, yeah, I think, you know, we can take the timeout. Other nights, give our guys the freedom to get out and run. But with how well they were guarding in that quarter and how hard it was for us to generate great looks, I felt in that transition we're going to have the best chance to get the look that we wanted.
That was probably the calmest answer from Mike Malone after the game. He lit into his team. I'll just give a quick sample. Number one, Jimmy. Malone, number one, postgame.
Well, I don't think that's the biggest question. Now, let's talk about effort. I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter, they scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves for not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that to me is really, really perplexing, disappointing. And I asked the team, I asked our player, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us. And we were by far our least disciplined game of these 16 or 17 playoff games, whatever it is now. So many breakdowns. And they exploited every one of those breakdowns and scored. So if we're going to try to go down there and regain control of this series and get home court advantage back, we're going to have to outwork Miami, which we didn't do tonight, and our discipline is going to have to be off the charts.
Totally different tone than what you get here.
Oh, my gosh, like night and day.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
Along with some of the other stuff I read this morning, Jokic, he apparently like ducked a question about the mood in the locker room.
You mean Jokic?
Jokic, sorry. What did I say, Jokic? Either way, but in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope ducked out of an interview as well, like hearing that with the coach, and they haven't been in the spotlight before or felt this heat, no pun intended. Like, they might not be ready for it.
I mean, I liked Miami coming into this series, and generally speaking, look, I don't watch Denver Nuggets basketball in my free time, okay? But everything I hear, this guy's respected, and I like his jib.
Yeah, so what I'm asking you, though, is his approach versus Mazzulla's approach. I mean, is that what you'd rather have?
Yes, definitely. Somebody who calls his team out. That's right, and this is what I sort of meant. Is that the vibe that comes from this guy is we didn't show up. He called him out. The Mazzulla? What'd you tell your guys? I love them.
Yeah. No, they're the defiant act with Missoula. I mean, that obviously didn't work, but I don't know how these guys are going to respond. Because as you've said,
well, this is what I'm asking.
Yeah, like who knows? Like this is the first time they're in the finals, and it felt last night like they kind of wilted.
Yeah, except they're never going to act like grown-ups if you keep treating them like kids.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know the value of just constant coddling and supporting and ass kissing. You get to the NBA finals and it's time. It's time. It should be okay for the coach to say it. I'd like to think. But, you know, who knows? Nowadays, maybe it's gone that far downhill that you can't say anything ever about your players or they're going to turtle.
I mean, and in that cut anyway, in that particular case, he's not throwing anybody individually under the bus. We didn't play hard. We didn't play hard. He's just throwing the whole team under the bus. I got no issue with that.
Let's grab a few quick calls here. Ian in New Bedford. Go, Ian.
What's up, Mike? Hey, so Jokic only had 4 assists in that game yesterday, and that was one of the biggest things that the Heat have managed to do each series is take away a piece from the players, the best player on the opposing team. So, interesting to see how they respond. I'll get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how Denver responds. I know what Miami's going to do. They're going to show up every night. Mm-hmm. They're going to play to the buzzer every night, even though they didn't against you in Game 6. They've played 47 minutes, 59 seconds and a half. And then let it down. But for the most part, they're going to keep coming. I don't know what Denver's going to be. I don't know what Denver's going to be after getting cracked in the pecker. Because they haven't. It hasn't happened to them in a while. Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how are you guys? You know, I think you're going to rethink about what you want to do with the Celtics. You got Tatum and Brown that are rated 6th and 10th in average points per game. Tatum took more shots than anybody in the NBA. And his percentages stink. 35% from the three-point. There's about 20 guys ahead of him.
So what, Tony, less Tatum?
Yes.
Do you agree with that, Maz? Less Tatum.
Well, look, I mean, the way I look at it is you got to play together. That's what Miami does. They play together. You have the talent to make your talent even better if you play as a group. So I don't know if it's less Tatum, I mean, it might be more passing from Tatum, might be less shooting.
I mean, he plays just about the most minutes in the league and takes just about the most shots in the league.
Right.
Just, you know.
Too lopsided. I mean, like the ratio. But yeah. But I think if he's making other guys better, I think, you know, again, we were just looking this up, Murray and I, during the break. The when Jokic has, what is it, Murray, less than 6 assists?
Yeah, in his postseason career, the Nuggets are 15-19 when he has 6 assists or less.
Okay, and when he gets 40 or more points, 0-4. 0-4. So let him score. Like, these guys, most of them, and Jokic gets it, so I'm not including him. But, like, scoring can often lead to a loss. If it's just you, it's no good.
Interesting. Eric and Lawrence. Hi, Eric.
Hi, guys. Thank you. Here's the thing that we're talking about when we talk about the Heat. It's trust. And here's how it relates to Jaylen Brown. It was 7 years ago, but when they drafted him, I'm sure they said, okay, Jaylen, you're our guy. We're building it around you. We're going to go forward. You're going to take us to the promised land. Not knowing they were going to pull off that, Jedi mind trick on Philly and end up with Jason Tatum. And then when he comes in, they say, okay, you're our guy. Jaylen doesn't trust the Celtics organization. That's what's wrong. He doesn't trust the organization, and it permeates his play.
Sure. I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
Doesn't trust the organization, doesn't trust the city, doesn't trust the current social climate in this country. There's a lot of distrust there.
He might not trust anyone.
Most of which is beyond anyone's control in our purview. Which is like, if you can sense the frustration in my voice, it's real. It's like, Jaylen, what do you want us, if I'm the Celtics, like, what do you want us to do about that? The city, the social climate in the country, like, what do you want us to do about that? There's not much we can do about that. You know, or there's only so much we can do about that. And it's like, hey, how much do we have to account for here with you? And that's a little bit frustrating when it comes to Jaylen Brown. Now, the other side of that coin just could be, he kind of sounds off on everything because he just wants the contract, and that tends to be that way too. It's like, you give the guy a contract that he likes, suddenly he doesn't have quite as many problems with the organization, the city, the world at large. His whole worldview changes a little bit. So maybe that's part of it with Jaylen. He's just in a weird spot where he hadn't gotten his money yet, and he's just a little uncertain about his future, so he's uncertain about everything. But it all just looks and feels a little bit worse when you suck. you know, if you're delivering on the floor, you stand on a little higher ground on all of it. And that's sort of the thing with Jaylen Brown now coming out of these playoffs, that he lost that high ground with the way that he played. Dave in the North End, quickly.
Yep. Yeah. So first of all, I'd be remiss to not mention that Mike Wilbon was talking about the altitude impacting the Heat game.
Yeah.
Which is just absolutely ridiculous.
I don't agree with that.
But also, so if Jaylen Brown signs max deal, his last year is $66 million. Is there any athlete in the world that is possibly worth that amount of money?
Different question, which I don't care to answer right now.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're worth it or not. It's a going rate.
And if they're paying him 66, what do you think the owner's making? So I have no problem with the 66 if that's the percentage of what the players get versus the owners. Like I said, different story. And the altitude, I disagree with you. That's an adjustment there.
It definitely is.
And as Wilbon said, it was a great point. Not only were the Heat down 15 in the second quarter, they were up 11, you know, to start. They got off to that great start. And then they got blitzed. And it would be very easy for a team to say, okay, well, the series doesn't start till we lose at home, and we'll just take the beating here, get back home, and we're winded as it is. I don't know. I think other teams would have – I don't know. I think a lot of teams would have responded differently, including this one.
Definitely. They wanted the game. They wanted the game. They wanted 1-1. They didn't want 2-0. They wanted 1-1.
And they didn't quit. Unlike –
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.